Many of you know that every week we have a collection of lessons that comes from a document called the lectionary. And the lectionary has an Old Testament lesson, a psalm, a gospel lesson, and an epistle lesson. And so we preachers see those if we're preaching from the lectionary, and we have to decide which one we're going to preach on. Once in a while, two of them kind of fit together, and so sometimes we use two. Sometimes we don't like any of them. This was a week where I didn't really like any of them, but I'm going to use part of one of them, one of the lessons. This is from 1 Corinthians. No, I have to find it because I'm piecing it together. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So the part of this lesson I didn't read, in the bulletin I think you have verses 12 through 20, the complete lesson talks about gluttony and consorting with prostitutes without spiritual consequences in the sanctity of marriage. Is that better? Okay. Too much amplification. You know, last week when we didn't have the screens, when you live by technology, you die by technology. So this is one more instance of it. So this complete lesson talks about gluttony, it talks about the sanctity of marriage and conforming with prostitutes, and I decided not to go there other than to say that Paul uses those issues to say that it is abhorrent for a Christian who embodies the presence of Christ himself to lay with a prostitute, because we who follow Christ no longer belong to ourselves so that we can do whatever we darn well please, but that we now belong to Christ. When we follow Christ, we are no longer masters of our own bodies, our minds, or our spirits. It is to Christ who dwells within us that we belong. This theme in Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, at least we think it's his first letter, we have indications he wrote a lot of letters to a lot of churches. In this first letter, this idea is sort of a theme that the church folks were bragging on to whom they belonged. And there were other evangelists in Corinth besides Paul. And so some people said, well, I belong to Paul. And others would say, well, I belong to Apollos. And still others would say, I belong to Cephas. The loyalties of the church people were divided, a situation which is ripe, of course, for conflict and disagreement. Now, none of these evangelists were perfect. They were all human beings, but they had their loyal followings. And if we jump ahead to our churches today, we also have loyal followings among the people of the church. Some say, well, I'm loyal to the senior pastor. Well, I'm loyal to the associate pastor. I'm loyal to the moderator. I'm loyal to the former pastor. And I'm loyal to the former pastor. You get the idea. So Paul steps into this fray that's going on in the church in Corinth, and where these people have these divided loyalties between himself and Apollos and Cephas and maybe others, and he says, you all belong to Christ. That's how he kind of pulls that whole thing together. So what does that mean, to belong to Christ? For Paul, it means that we follow Christ ahead of any other loyalties we may have, even our friends, our family, or ourselves. They all take a second seat to belonging to Christ. To belong to Christ means that we have a guide for our lives in a Creator God, in the person of Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. Sounds a little bit like the Trinity, no? And in this three-in-one guide, we find direction and purpose and meeting. And this guide can and often does lead us into some amazing places. I grew up in Southern California in the 50s and 60s, sort of the Leave It to Beaver sort of life, my mom and my dad and my sisters, and I would say I'm pretty white bread, you know, British for the most part. And I had some experiences that where I was led by this guide that we call, this guidance that we call belonging to Christ in a couple of ways. I had an opportunity to serve a church in Hawaii. And so I had three little kids. My wife and I went to Hawaii. And not long before, after I got there, I had a funeral to do. And it was the funeral of a family, of a Hawaiian family, a pure Hawaiian family. There aren't many pure Hawaiian families left in Hawaii, I'm afraid. Well, it was the family of Libby Pa'aula, who was the school bus driver. And this was a little town, by the way. We're not talking Honolulu. We're talking 3,000 people on the tip of the Big Island. And so Libby came to pick me up for the funeral, which was in Hilo. It was about 2 hours away. And I get on this bus, this school bus, full of Hawaiians and me. And we're bouncing along over this extinct volcano, right, Mauna Loa, or bounce along in this school bus. Me, white boy, with all of these people of color who are all Hawaiians, and I'm thinking, how in the world did I ever get here? So that was one of those experiences where this guide has taken me. The other one was after living in a couple of other different places on the mainland, we moved to Phoenix, and in January of 2004, my wife and I, and or Georgiana and I, moved to Iowa in January. Well, I'd spent one winter in Minnesota, so I kind of had a little bit of idea, but remember, I had served churches in California and Hawaii and Phoenix, and now I'm moving to Iowa in January. So I was there for about a week and had a call to make at night to a farm family. And so I'm out driving these icy roads with 3 feet of snow in the fields, saying once again, how in the world did I ever get here? So belonging to Christ for me has led me to 38 years of ordained ministry and living and serving in 6 different states, 9 churches, and 4 conferences. That's sort of been my journey with this guide that we call, that comes to us when we belong to Christ. Martin Luther King belonged to Christ too, and we celebrate his birthday this weekend. And it was the guide for his amazing life. It led him into ministry. It led him into national leadership and the civil rights movement. It led him to prison, and it led him to death. Tomorrow we remember his birth, and we rededicate ourselves toward doing and working toward his dream, that until justice reigns for all of God's children, it does not reign for any of them. You belong to Christ, too, because he has chosen you. No less than he's chosen me, or Martin Luther King, or Pastor Judy, or the Good Samaritan, or the man who said there was no room in the inn. Any unexpected experiences in your life? How many of you have had unexpected experiences in your life? If you don't put your hand up, then you're kidding yourself, I think. And we ask ourselves, when those happened, did God lead us there? Was this a God thing that led us into these experiences? Some of them might not have been very pretty. Some of them might have been painful. Another question we ask ourselves is, were we guided there? I think I was guided into that school bus bouncing along over a volcano and driving through all that snow in January. Were you guided to your experiences in life? Were you changed by those experiences in your life? Was that guide there taking you on a new experience to make you a different person? When you open your heart to the love and grace of God, Christ chooses you. And from that moment, your life is no longer your own, but it's His. His Spirit becomes your guide, whether you like it or know it or not. And most of us, most of the time, neglect to consult the guide of our lives, even when the times are toughest for us. Now, we Americans are all about freedom. Freedom to determine our own dreams. Freedom to determine our own destinies. But why would we allow ourselves to belong to anyone but ourselves? Read a daily newspaper. Watch the evening news. Follow the current events over the internet, and we find our answer. Left to our own devices, we've sort of made a mess of things. Not to mention our own mistakes, our own missteps, our own blindness. We need a better guide. A better guide than our flawed, self-centered, fear-filled selves. We need a higher power, a greater owner, into whom we can place our trust. For left to ourselves, without that power of love and justice and peace, we are doomed to live in a world of violence, injustice, and terror, and we shrink in fear of it. When we say, then, let go and let God, we recognize to whom we belong. Let us pray that in our walk with Christ, we can let Him be our guide. Amen.